is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, listen to this. All I needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
For me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed.
From small fixes to big upgrades, eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She can get a deal. Book telehealth if she feel.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. A jury has found Ryan Ruth guilty on all five counts in the assassination attempt of Donald Trump last year on a Florida golf course. The jury coming back with a verdict after 2 hours of deliberations. ABC legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer says Ruth acted as his own attorney.
He had three witnesses, two being character witnesses and one talking about the firearm itself. It seems he tried to argue that he's just not that type of guy, that he's not the type of person to commit this crime, and that the weapon itself was not operable or not capable of actually committing the crime because of some sort of whatever he was arguing. I couldn't follow all that much.
According to sources familiar with the matter, Ruth attempted to stab himself with a pen amid the chaos in the courtroom when the verdict was handed down. He left marks on his neck but was not injured, according to the source. President Trump in a social media post calling the verdict a, quote, very big moment for justice in America. Sentencing for Ruth set for December 18th. This is ABC News. After being preempted for nearly a week, Jimmy Kimmel Live returns to the air tonight. The show preempted due to comments made by Kimmel following the fatal shooting of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. ABC's Alex Stone has more on who will join as tonight's guests on the Kimmel Show.
As the show comes back on the air, actor Glenn Powell and singer Sarah McLachlan will be on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Powell promoting his new sports comedy TV series called Chad Powers. On Wednesday, actor Ethan Hawke and Abbott Elementary's Lisa Ann Walter will sit down on the couch with Kimmel. And on Thursday, Peyton Manning will be on. Two large owners of ABC television stations, Nexstar and Sinclair, say they will continue to preempt the show in their markets.
Disney is the parent company of ABC News. As world leaders meet for the annual UN General Assembly in New York City, the Secret Service says it thwarted a potential plot that would have knocked out telecommunications throughout the entire New York City area. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. We've all had that epic rideshare experience. Halfway through the trip, you know their heartbreak, their career path, and they know your aspirations to go find yourself in Portugal. It's human. We're all looking for connection, for someone to listen. But sometimes the people we spill our hearts to aren't exactly equipped to help us through it. With over a decade of data-backed experience from helping millions of people, BetterHelp matches you with a therapist based on your needs and goals. No asking for recommendations or endless scrolling through listings. Simply answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist often in as little as 48 hours. Join over 5 million people worldwide who've trusted BetterHelp for their mental health and well-being. Get a therapist who gets you. Visit BetterHelp.com/ABC Radio to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/ABC Radio.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. At the Capitol, Assembly Republicans are planning to introduce a swath of changes to Wisconsin elections. Assembly Elections Committee Vice Chair Scott Krug tells WISN-TV's Up Front he hopes the package will be able to make it through the legislature.
We've worked really hard with stakeholders across the spectrum, whether it's voting groups in Milwaukee or County Clerks Association, Democrats in the legislature, even talked to the governor's office about almost everything that's been in these bills.
The bill would allow for early counts of absentee ballots, but would place restrictions on drop boxes, including 24/7 surveillance streamed online and requiring law enforcement to be present when ballots are moved. Two sites serving Wisconsin veterans who are homeless are now closed.
Veterans Housing and Recovery Program sites in Green Bay and Chippewa Falls closed September 12th due to a lack of funding. Joey Hoey with the Department of Veterans Affairs updated a state Senate committee last week.
We were able to provide all the veterans in our care at Green Bay and Chippewa Falls with alternative options.
Veterans groups support a bill from State Senator Andre Jacques to provide funding, which was not included in the final budget compromise between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican legislative leaders earlier this year. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A dramatic increase in fall-related emergency medical incidents in Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services reports emergency medical services responded to 140,000 falls last year, an increase of nearly 10,000 fall-related calls from 2023. Falls accounted for 21% of all 911-related ambulance runs in 2024. The Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging provides tools and information to understand fall risks. Check it out at fallsfreewi.org. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. More clouds than some this afternoon. A comfortable early fall day with highs in the lower 70s. For tonight, some patchy fog developing. Otherwise, partly cloudy, a low of 53. Some areas of fog early. Otherwise, partly sunny on Wednesday with a high of 71. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to AOA. Mike Adams sitting in again today for the traveling Jesse Allen. He'll be back with you on Friday. So glad you've joined us. We have a busy, busy show today. Lots to talk about, and we're going to cover a lot of different topics. You know, AOA powered by Synex, a reminder that with harvest season now in full swing, you can count on Synex quality fluids for high performance. Protect your operation and avoid downtime with Synex premium lubricants. We're going to start today's show off with Ethan Lane, Senior Vice President, Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, good to talk with you again.
Great to hear from you, Mike.
Let's talk about the latest and the efforts battling New World screwworm. And I saw a thing from a piece from USDA this morning saying that the boots are on the ground in Mexico, physically inspecting traps and dispersing sterile flies after the detection of that latest case. $100 million invested in breakthrough technologies, 8,000 plus traps deployed across Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico. What can you add to that, and how do you feel about USDA's effort so far?
Well, this is part of their ongoing effort to slow the movement of New World screwworm flies northward through Mexico toward the U.S. border. Obviously, this new case that was identified over the weekend, 70 miles approximately from the U.S. border in Nuevo León, is a dramatic advancement in the sort of most close proximity case to the U.S. border. We were 300 plus miles away with the last confirmed case, but also this is in the midst of the Mexican government dramatically ramping up their efforts to surveil these insects and report those cases and really do some monitoring and some trapping at the scale that USDA is looking for to feel confident that, you know, that partnership is working to try to slow this spread while we build out the defenses needed to turn what is now about 115 million flies a week that we can throw at this problem into something more like 500 million flies that we're going to need to truly get a handle on this. So I think all credit to USDA for continuing to keep the pressure on here, but obviously obviously our work continues here as well, getting ready, making sure that we're working with our state vets throughout those impacted states and preparing for, you know, the things we know are going to come to the forefront if and when this this pest reaches U.S. soil and that our cattle industry is ready for it so that we can continue to move cattle, get them processed, and get them onto store shelves with as little disruption as possible.
Do you feel it can be stopped from crossing the border, or are we going to be in a situation just try to minimize the impact of it?
Well, I think we have. I think it's the only responsible thing to do is to assume that it is going to reach the U.S. In some capacity, and I think that really directs our attention toward making sure that we minimize the impact as much as possible, that we expedite the construction of those facilities in the U.S. to make more flies. To your point, that 100 million in additional technologies, mobile technology, things like that. That is really in fifth gear and going as fast as possible so that, you know, as this thing closes in on the U.S. border, we're bringing more tools online to combat it and, again, to push it south. So I think we have to assume it's going to be here at some point. You know, 6 months ago, we were hearing everybody say they thought it would be August. Obviously, we're past August. Still looking at it in Mexico rather than in the U.S. But again, this is something where we're going to have to keep working to minimize the impact and get it back down in its box down in Panama as quickly as possible.
We're talking with Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. All right, Ethan, what are you hearing there in Washington, D.C.? Are we looking at a government shutdown?
You know, we're continuing to talk to folks on the Hill. We're obviously anticipating that meeting with Democratic leadership. Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries planning to meet with President Trump in the Oval Office on Thursday. That meeting, it's unclear if that's going to include Majority Leader Thune and Speaker Johnson as well. But, you know, anything is possible when you get, you know, Donald Trump in a room negotiating. We're all going to be kind of watching to see whether a deal is possible there. Democrats are holding firm at the moment on their desire for this short-term package to also solve this looming Obamacare problem with those boosted subsidies that would put something like 4 million people's health care in jeopardy at the end of this year. That feels like a really remote possibility. You know, the House has done their work and left town. The Senate is in a position where they need to pass that extension to November 21st and give appropriators time to put the rest of this package together. And that's the obvious deal in front of everybody right now. You know, nobody wants a shutdown, but we're going to have to wait and see how that meeting goes on Thursday. You know, obviously the president likes an audience. He likes a show. I'm sure this conversation on Thursday will provide all of that, whether we like it or not.
I mentioned this yesterday that I'm disappointed. I thought this Congress would be in session more, but it doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like they're always off. How do you feel about that, about them actually getting the work done? We're back to the same old pattern that we always have, everything at the last second, and everything's, you know, we're in a crisis situation because we're up against a deadline. What are your thoughts on how this Congress is working?
Well, look, there's a subtle difference here in that, you know, Speaker Johnson doesn't wait until midnight on the day before funding expires. He deals with it several weeks out. Obviously, they put a bill, you know, out of the House last Friday. That's a tremendous amount of lead time to get a deal done, especially when we're talking about a short-term extension. I hear you on the number of days in session, though. I don't think these guys have taken a break since January with all of this, you know, the activity and drama in the last few months. Even if they're not physically in session voting, there's meetings going on. There's lots of roundtables and you know, in-state stuff, and they're moving pretty heavy. But there's also very little they can really do as far as kind of regular order processing of bills on the floor with those tight margins. So I give them a higher grade than maybe meets the eye just based on you know what they're presented with right now. But this is I think pretty roundly a dysfunctional environment no matter how you slice it.
Ethan, always good to talk with you. Thanks for the update.
You bet, Mike. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Ethan Lane, Senior Vice President, Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Joe Sheely with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We're going to take a look at what the situation is as far as our meat sales to China. not really nothing happening on beef, maybe a little bit on pork. What's the situation with tariffs, and what are the prospects there? Meanwhile, we have some other things happening, as with some other countries, the UK and Australia and others, maybe looking a little more positive. We'll get an update on all that. And then we have a number of issues we're going to talk about with Todd Neely with DTN, environmental editor with DTN, coming up later in the program as well. Be sure to protect your operation. Avoid downtime with Cinex. When your equipment runs efficiently, your business runs efficiently. Cinex Store's premium lubricants help keep machines in check. Minimize your downtime. Cinex will keep you going. So up next, we talked it over with Joe Sheely with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. How are the tariffs impacting our meat sales to China? We talk a lot about grain sales to China, what is and what is not happening, but what about meat exports, and where are the bright prospects around the globe as we see what's happening with our meat sales? That's coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA.
Every mile your fleet travels is money on the line. Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel Fuel improves fuel economy, protects engines, and reduces downtime. Cenex Premium Lubricants are engineered to meet or exceed OEM specifications, keeping trucks and equipment in peak condition mile after mile. Power you trust, results you see. That's how you stay miles ahead with Cenex. Learn more at Cenex.com.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in for Jesse Allen, who's on the road. He'll be back with you on Friday. AOA, powered by Cinex. Cinex keeps you going. Partner with local experts. Cinex trusted local experts can help you find the right lubricant product that'll keep your fleet going. Safeguard equipment with premium lubricants from Cenex. All right, we're joined now by Joe Shealy, Senior Vice President, Communications for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Joe, good to talk with you again. China. Everybody talking about China, the impacts of the trade tensions and the tariffs. We talk a lot about that when it comes to grain trade, but it certainly is impacting meat sales as well, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. It seems like you and I have been talking about meat trade with China for a lot of years, Mike. And right now the news is not especially good. We are, U.S. beef is essentially locked out of the market. And while we do face retaliatory tariffs in China on beef, total tariff about 32%, that's really not the main obstacle. What's happened is earlier this year, a lot of the beef plants and cold storages, their registrations with Chinese regulatory authorities were coming due. It's kind of the five-year anniversary of the Phase One agreement that really opened China to U.S. beef for the first time in a meaningful way in the post-BSE era. And when those five-year renewals came up, China failed to renew those establishments. And so little by little, as the year went on, fewer and fewer establishments were eligible, to the point where now we're essentially locked out. And so that's the biggest obstacle for U.S. beef. Exports have really pretty much ground to a halt at this point, and that's not going to change until they renew those registrations. And, you know, we were encouraged that the two sides got together last week, including the call between President Trump and President Xi. And, you know, I know a lot of people will look at that and say, well, they weren't talking ag trade. They were talking about TikTok, and they were talking about rare earth metals and intellectual property. And while I get the frustration, that's really where they need to make the progress. I mean, the impasse with China isn't really about beef. That's just kind of the card China is holding. And so until they make progress on those other issues, they're not likely to reopen the market to beef in a meaningful way. So we were encouraged by last week's talks, even though it may seem like an indirect way of getting at this issue.
That's a good point. They have to resolve those other issues, and then it can trickle down to other things such as the beef trade. Now, on the pork side, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Right. We do face a pretty high tariff there, a total tariff of 57%. We went into the year before all the reciprocal tariffs and all the retaliatory duties, before all that started, you know, around March or April, we were at a 37% tariff on pork going into China. We're still able to move a fair amount of product there, mostly pork variety meat, feet, ears, organs, things like that. At that 37% tariff, that is now at 57%, and we're still managing to move some product. Exports are really fairly steady with last year, except that there was a gap where we were temporarily at like triple digit tariffs, like 172%. That went on for a few weeks, and so there was a bit of a hole there. But other than that, our pork exports to China have been fairly steady with last year. We're not moving many pork muscle cuts to China, but that really has more to do with their domestic supplies. China is pretty well situated on domestic production right now, so they're most of their imports, whether from the U.S. or the EU or from anywhere else, are pretty heavily weighted toward the variety meat side.
We're talking with Joe Shealy with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Meanwhile, Joe, there are some brighter spots in other places around the world, right? Some positive developments.
Right. We do see some promising developments in the trade negotiations that are going on. We see one of the sets of negotiations that probably has the most potential upside are the trade talks with Indonesia. Those have been a little bit under the radar, but there was an announcement of a framework a couple of months ago that we had reached sort of a framework agreement with Indonesia. And it remains to be seen how many of the barriers that Indonesia will actually eliminate. But USTR and USDA certainly have identified, they certainly have the issues in the crosshairs that have frustrated exporters for so many years. And that has to do with cumbersome plant registrations, these elaborate import licensing regimes where importers have to show that they've bought a certain amount of domestic product before they can bring in U.S. product. That's been a frustration for many years that has really kept the Indonesian market, which has an enormous population and a growing middle class, growing disposable income, a lot of promise there. Those barriers have really kept that market from even approaching its potential. And so we see a lot of potential upside there, mostly for beef, but there's also about a non-Muslim population in Indonesia of over 30 million people. So we do see opportunities for U.S. pork there as well, if a lot of these non-tariff barriers can be eliminated. And tariffs are not really a big issue in Indonesia. Their tariffs on red meat tend to be right around 5%.
What about Australia?
Well, we got some good news there, some long overdue access for U.S. beef going into Australia, many years of negotiations on that. And finally, we really have meaningful access now. We've had a number of plants that since the announcement have gained eligibility, gotten on the approved plant list for Australia. Now, we see that as more of a small niche market. I mean, I think the volumes to us are going to be small, but there is interest, especially in the high-end dining. And so I do think that the corn-fed product that we have to offer in Australia is going to appeal to some of the diners there, whether they be residents or tourists. I think that U.S. beef has some potential in the especially in the Australian food service sector. Small volumes, but I think that there'll be some opportunities for U.S. exporters to do business there. And I think from a standpoint of just science-based trade, I mean, it just makes sense. Australia being one of the world's largest beef exporters and the U.S. being currently the largest destination for Australian beef, especially the lean beef trimmings, that from a sense of fairness and showing a commitment to science-based trade, it was high time that Australia removed those barriers.
What about the U.K.? Is that does that market hold much potential for us?
We do see some possibilities there. Now, when the UK left the EU, their famous Brexit referendum, what the duty-free beef access that we had to the UK, which was part of the EU's duty-free quota, that went away. So we no longer had any duty-free beef access into the UK. They have this summer opened a duty-free quota for U.S. beef. It's not operational yet. We haven't seen any product move into the country duty-free yet. But once that's up and running, that will eliminate one barrier in that at least we will be able to get some product in. This year it'll be, I think it's set at about 8,500 metric tons. It'll be 12,000 annually once it's up and running. And that's an opportunity since it's expensive to produce for the European market. The UK carried over all of the cumbersome regulatory requirements for beef that it had when it was part of the EU. And so it'll still be an expensive market to serve, but at least if you can get some product in there at zero duty instead of 20%, that will open up some opportunities. We also see excellent opportunities for U.S. pork in the UK. The UK is an enormous importer of pork, almost all of it coming from the EU, but they're an importer nonetheless to the tune of almost $3 billion last year. Yeah. And so there's an opportunity there for U.S. pork if we can get meaningful access and if we can whittle away at some of these really cumbersome regulatory requirements that don't really serve any purpose. And we feel like there's some really really good opportunities for U.S. pork in that market, both on the fresh side and for processed products.
Joe, real quick, our beef herd numbers, we know we're tight. People might say, well, why is this so important, all this export? Well, those beef herd numbers fluctuate, but you have to work year-round constantly, year after year, on export opportunities.
Right. You need to sell the whole carcass. And what we're exporting, both on the beef side and the pork side, but on beef, we're moving product overseas that the U.S. consumers doesn't have a lot of interest in. The The domestic market for beef here is very large and robust, and we want to keep it that way. Exports are a complement to that. So we move those underutilized cuts, those variety meats overseas that don't really attract much interest here in the U.S.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Good to talk with you. Joe Sheely with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Remember, AOA, powered by Cinex. Choose the perfect grease for your vehicle. Select the right grease from Cinex Premium Greases. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope. Their hope.
Holiday.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and triticale.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 34 to 1720. November up 35 to 1670. December up 25 to 1694. January up 8 at 1685. Live cattle markets were mostly mixed on the day. Lower in the nearby contracts. Higher in deferreds. Traders were unwilling to move contracts much higher past resistance levels, awaiting further consumer demand and also higher boxed beef prices. Feeder cattle, though, mostly higher due to continued strong demand in the countryside. Hog markets, they moved mostly higher as the traders felt confident to continue to move past resistance levels, which led to additional buying interest. October live cattle down $1.55 to $2.35.60. September feeder cattle up $2.12 to $3.64.85. October hogs up $1.72 to $100.50. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly higher on the day. A short covering type of a trading day for all of the grains. The weather should allow our harvest to expand, and also the weather should allow the continued planting and emergence of the winter wheat crop. But again, a lot of the grain markets moving mostly higher due to short covering after recent losses. December corn up 4.5 to 426.25. November beans up 1 to 1012. December wheat up 9.75.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Mike Adams sitting in for Jesse. He'll be back with you on Friday. AOA powered by Cinex. Keep your operation moving. Long hours are the name of the game and especially at this time of year. Cinex Premium Diesel helps keep your equipment on the go. Mitigate risk on the farm with Premium Diesel from Cinex. We're joined now by Todd Neely, environmental editor for DTN. Todd, good to talk with you again. How are things going?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
I know you're covering a lot of different things. I was thinking, I was watching the news when, you know, we were getting some announcements on small refinery exemptions and allocating and the RINs, and I thought, wow, how many times have I talked about that? And sometimes the more I talk about it and hear about it, the more confused I get. And I don't know, it's really not completely cleared up yet, is it?
No, not at all, Mike. You know, EPA put out a proposal to basically consider either reallocating no gallons or all the gallons. And so, you know, that could be anywhere from zero to over two billion. Not really sure exactly how all of that shakes out, but it's certainly something I think that, you know, the ethanol industry for sure has been looking for a lot of stability and on this particular issue. And you kind of hope that this might get a little closer, although I guess, you know, the devil's going to be in those details.
Seems like whatever party's in power, the administration trying to find some way to please all sides, and typically they've not pleased anybody, it seems like.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And, Trump, the first time around, he, you know, we had this whole issue come up where he ended up granting, I think it was in the neighborhood of 80 to 100 small refinery exemptions. And it was kind of out over a period of time. And so it was, you know, over time, I think people thought, okay, this isn't, you know, what he's doing now isn't something that's going to happen later. And so it just kind of kept happening. I think at least with this, you know, at the beginning of it, you know, we're kind of all waiting to see what those final numbers are going to be. But it does appear this time around under this administration that they're going to try to not only please both sides, but maybe come up with something that, you know, maybe isn't going to rattle the market long term.
Yeah, we shall see. Meanwhile, there was that explosion at the Horizon Biofuels plant in Fremont, Nebraska. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, Mike. So, you know, this Horizon Biofuels plant in Fremont, Nebraska, which is basically northeast Nebraska, about there was some sort of a dust involvement, you know, where this plant produces a lot of different, or did produce a lot of products, you know, whether it be for animal feed or, you know, wood-based products. And so they had a report that came out by the federal agency that's in charge of these types of investigations, basically looked at it and said that, yeah, it's not only was dust involved, but it kind of insinuated in the report that, you know, dust has kind of been just a part of the operation for many years. And so it was kind of something that I think was just lingering there for very long. At least that's what this report from the U.S. Chemical Safety Hazard Board had said. And so it's really tragic. You know, we had three fatalities, two young children and one of the employees there. And I definitely think that, you know, as this thing goes forward, I think probably maybe the federal agency is going to, you know, address the whole notion about dust at these plants. I don't know how that can be addressed other than the, you know, that perhaps they come up with something that that can make these types of situations safer.
We're talking with Todd Neely, environmental editor for DTN. Todd, I know you've been covering this Summit carbon pipeline issue. Where is that at now? And the latest on how the company is working with or trying to work with landowners?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I think, you know, this has kind of been a process. You know, we're talking about a pipeline that's going to go across, what is it, five states. And so each state's kind of had its own issues, whether it be regulatory requirements, legal challenges, you name it. I mean, there's just been a series of things that have gone on. And so the company decided, I don't know whether the previous CEO was fired or he just left, whatever the case may be. They hired a new CEO. His name is Joe Griffin. And since he was hired, he's been sending out letters to either property owners and other people involved along the proposed route, which overall is going to be about, 2,500 miles, I believe. He sent something new out, to various landowners and providing a whole bunch of incentives, whether it be, a long-term incentive to have, if you have a pipeline on your ground, just different types of payments and such. And one of the things that was in that was that, Summit's been criticized heavily for trying to use eminent domain. And part of that, they've had to go onto properties and conduct surveys. And there was a landowner in Iowa who came out against this and sued and said, you can't do that. And so even in this latest proposal sent to landowners, they're going to provide a one-time payment of $500 to come on a property and do those surveys. And so there's all kinds of stuff in this letter that Griffin sent out. It's anything from incentives to communities, incentives to farmers and so on. And I don't know how that differs from what was done the first time, but it certainly seems like at least this time around, they're trying to really get on the good side of landowners.
Seems like everything winds up going to court. And along those legal lines, here's another issue on the right to repair lawsuit. AGCO filing a motion in court to seek an appeal of a previous ruling on the deer right to repair lawsuit. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so this case in particular, we've got a group, I think, of 16 farmers who had sued John Deere on the right to repair issue. And then we had the Biden administration file a lawsuit basically challenging John Deere and its practices, claiming monopoly and that sort of thing. And so along the way, the Biden administration acquired a bunch of information from companies, that are connected in some way. And so what we've seen is, along the way, a federal court decided to go ahead and to share that data. And it could be proprietary data. It could be, business data from not just John Deere per se, but other ag equipment companies. And so AGCO kind of got swept up into this because they're really not the center of the lawsuit. But as part of the investigation, some of their data, sensitive business information, would be shared. And so AGCO said that, no, we can't let this happen. And so they filed what they call an interlocutory appeal. And it's a long word. Hmm. Essentially, they're asking the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals to review a few of the legal issues as to what the district court did in allowing that information to be shared before it, they're trying to stop it, essentially. And so this type of an appeal, I guess, is really rare, and it's hardly, it's really not granted very often. And so we'll see where that goes, but it's certainly, it's somewhat surprising that the Trump administration hasn't stepped in on the Federal Trade Commission lawsuit. Apparently they see some merit in this, and so it's still moving on.
I wanted to ask you, over the years, we have seen, you and I have talked about this a lot, about the battle, the tension between agriculture and EPA. We have a new administrator, Lee Zeldin, now, and this administration came in saying we want to ease regulation, we're going to open things up. What have you seen as far as agriculture and issues with EPA? Has there been a noticeable difference so far, or is it too soon to tell, or how would you describe it?
Right. Yeah, I think the one thing that is different so far, Mike, is that, with Lee Zeldin and the EPA, we at least have some sense that they're listening to concerns, and taking them seriously. We've still got a pending WOTUS rule that the Trump EPA is putting out there and working on. And I think that, just in that process alone, we did see EPA actually going out into the country. It wasn't a lot of locations, but they made some trips to different areas of the country and held public hearings on the WOTUS rule. also, when you look at, you know, the SRE thing on the, you know, the renewable fuel standard issue we just talked about, you can tell that that they are at least considering the concerns of ag. You know, the previous administration just didn't. And I think on that side of it, I do think that, you know, what we've seen early on with this Trump EPA, I do think that they're, you know, agriculture has at least got a table in things. I don't know what that's going to mean going forward. You know, there's obviously differences, you know, when it comes to the policies, whether it be the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act. But certainly, there's at least, I think, reason for hope for farmers.
Some of those are indeed forever topics, it seems like. And we'll keep talking about them for years to come. Todd, good to talk with you again. Absolutely. Take care.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
All right. Todd Neely, environmental editor for DTN. Remember, protect your bottom line. Investing in quality fuel like Cinex Premium Diesel can help improve efficiency, maximizing your operations ROI. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk with Susan Littlefield, the American Ag Network. She'll tell us about harvest update going on in Nebraska. We also want to talk about Farm Safety Week. We have a lot of things to talk about with Susan. That's coming up next. Stay with us here on AOA.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Let's go! You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Think about it. You take thousands of steps every day. Shouldn't every single one of them feel amazing? Well, with ArchFit hands-free Skechers slip-ins, they can. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists to design a shoe that provides amazing arch support for all-day comfort. And best of all, you get all this comfort, stability, and support with the ease of Skechers slip-ins technology. Just slip them on. There's no bending down and no struggling to tie your shoes. Just step in and go. Try ArchFit hands-free Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever comfortable footwear is sold.
And fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the important relationship between corn and poultry with Connie Fisher from the Kansas Corn Growers Association and Shelby Watson with the USA Poultry and Ag Export Council.
The poultry industry is such a big user of corn. You know, sometimes as a cattle producer in Kansas, I get a lot of questions about why is NCGA and Kansas Corn partnering with USAPEC? But, you know, the industry itself uses about 2.2 billion bushels of corn a year. And so it's just natural that NCGA USDA and USAPEC and states like Kansas and Kansas Corn are partners with them.
Considering we represent several of our feathered friends, the poultry industry as a whole, we definitely have a very, very important relationship, and I think a lot of strategy is needed in order for us to align, and we are just grateful for the buy-in from corn growers. You know, everybody wins here.
Learn more from the National Corn Growers Association at ncga.com.
Selling your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash fast? At House Buyer Network, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. Whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. Close in as little as 7 days. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Call 833-382-8334 for your free, no-obligation cash offer. That's 833-382-8334. House Buyer Network. Real cash, real fast. That toll-free number once again to call, 833-382-8334.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Back, Mike Adams sitting in today for Jesse. He'll be back with you on Friday. AOA powered by Cinex. Here we are in the busy harvest season. You don't want any downtime. You can count on Cinex quality fluids for high performance. Protect your operation and avoid that costly downtime with Cinex premium lubricants. All right, we're joined now by American Ag Network farm broadcaster Susan Littlefield, always on the go. Susan, good to talk with you and catch up with you.
Hey, Mike, it's good to catch up with you as well. We're actually getting some drizzly rain right now, which is a blessing for harvest.
Susan's in Nebraska. Yeah, tell us about harvest in Nebraska. How's it going?
Well, so far it's going very slow. In the sense of silage, that came off pretty quick. The moisture was perfect. The weather for silage harvest went, you know, just as what we needed. Temperatures were great. The winds were right. But now that we're getting ready to start harvesting corn, they're working on seed corn in the field next to me. We've had a little bit of a drizzle, which is good because we were starting to get on the drier side. And if you want to see a bunch of nervous firefighters like cats with long tails in a rocking chair factory, see harvest season with no rain.
Yeah, we were looking at that here in Illinois, too. Unfortunately, we've had a little bit of rain as well. What about your growing season? Did you get the rains this year? I mean, moisture is always, seems like hard to come by in many years in Nebraska. Did you get enough this year?
You know, we were really blessed this year, Mike, when it came to rains. We started out very dry, I think like most folks did, and you planted the seed and you just kind of wondered. We knew guys that had turned on pivots just to get some moisture into that ground to at least, you know, rejuvenate that seed and get it going. And then they shut the pivots off, and many didn't even have to turn pivots on until beginning of August. And I've talked to a few guys that those rains just came timely enough. Their pivots have been parked all summer long, which is kind of unheard of in Nebraska. So we've had some good numbers. We've got disease concerns, not as bad as what they have in Illinois and Iowa, but we still have some disease concerns that we're keeping an eye on as we get ready to harvest. But really the rains came. We didn't see a lot of the white combine. McCook, Nebraska, which is west of where I'm at, had 2 hours of hail last week.
Wow.
The fields there are just devastated. And then they, on top of it, got 10 inches of rain. So for them, there's going to be a lot of crop adjusters working some extra long hours for those folks. But yeah, for the most part, we've been pretty lucky.
Yeah, no one wants hail, that's for sure. What was the mood at Husker Harvest Days this year?
You know, it was energetic. It was fun to watch. Tuesday, you know, usually starts out kind of as a slower type of day. And from the get-go, there were farmers walking around wanting to see latest technologies. And as one guy said to me, he goes, you know, yeah, people say, you know, farm shows get a chance to kick the tires. He says, but more importantly, he goes, we get to sit down with our folks and talk more about what's coming in the pipeline, what we're going to see. And I said, are you optimistic? And the one gentleman I talked to smiled at me, goes, we're farmers. We're always optimistic. There's one part of us that always is. And they were already looking forward to next year's growing season. Of course, everybody was concerned about no farm bill at this point. Everybody was concerned about tariffs and what was going to happen. Are we going to see some sort of deal worked out with China, especially from a soybean perspective, knowing that we're supposed to see a bumper crop this year? So those were the heavy parts. But otherwise, I would say they were happy because it was rain. It was a cool Husker Harvest Days. It never got over 84 degrees. So there was just a lot of good factors that were weighing in. And guys, you know, Nebraskans are cattle farmers, are cattle producers too. So they've had a pretty good year when it comes to raising cattle and getting some decent prices at the sale barn. So I would say pretty fortunate and ready to hit the new year.
We're talking with Susan Littlefield, farm broadcaster with the American Ag Network. Let's talk about something very important year-round. That's farm safety. We focus on it, especially this week, Farm Safety and Health Week. I know we don't talk about it enough, but it's one of those things, sometimes you talk about it and kind of, you know, eyes glaze over, but it's something that all of us need to be more aware of and take a closer look at people around us, be more aware of what's going on and if someone might need help and how we can help.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, farm accidents literally happen in a blink of an eye. I can attest to that firsthand. And farm accidents aren't just with equipment. They're with livestock as well. That is how I had my farm accident. And when it happens quick, you need to have a plan. And more importantly, you need to have that plan ahead of when an accident happens. Stop and think about if you've got young children, where they are at all times. We know that you guys have got a lot on your plate as you get ready for harvest. But think about those littles, because they just want to be around the tractors and the combines and their family. So find things for them to get them involved in a very safe manner. And as you guys are getting ready to put stuff in the bins, keep that in mind. Always, always let somebody know where you're at. Even if you're on the farm place and you're going to be out, hey, I'm going to go start this pen of cattle, even sheep and goats. I'm going to be out here, but I'm going to be out here for about an hour. If it gets later because things go awry like they will do, pick up the phone, send a text to somebody that says, hey, I'm still out in this area. Because if an accident happens or you don't come home, at least they have an idea where they can go look for you first.
And there's physical safety and health, and there's also the mental aspect. And this is an ongoing issue, the mental stress that farmers and farm families are under.
You know, Mike, they've got the weight of the world literally on their shoulders. And sometimes it's we just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we keep going. But it's okay to slip those boots off and just sit down and talk. If you don't feel like you can talk to somebody who is a professional, because, you know, it's that stigma, find your local pastor, your local priest, your neighbor next door. Because, you know, sometimes those coffee house conversations, sitting at the table early in the morning, sometimes is the best therapy that folks can have. If you've got concerns, if you're worried, talk to somebody. And just reach out and have that conversation, because you don't need that weight on your shoulders. You need to be able to enjoy the harvest, enjoy what you're doing in farming without worrying about everything else that's going on, because it will literally eat you alive. And so just reach out, have that conversation. And you, as somebody who notices somebody struggling, you're not going to be a nosy Nancy by asking, are you okay? And sometimes that's the first thing. You just need to say, hey, are you doing okay? I haven't seen you at coffee, or I haven't seen you at church, or wherever. Get that conversation started.
Susan, keep up the good work. Good to talk with you.
You as well. Thanks.
Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network. AOA, powered by Synex. Get the most out of your equipment. Synex Premium Diesel provides today's high-tech engines with the power and precision needed to get the job done. Thanks for being with us. Hope you'll be with us again tomorrow right here on AOA.
When your business runs on wheels, downtime costs money. Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel Fuel delivers maximum power, cleaner engines, and better fuel efficiency for every mile. Cenex Premium Lubricants are engineered to meet or exceed OEM specifications, protecting engines and transmissions under the toughest loads. From long hauls to local routes, Cenex keeps your fleet on schedule and on the road. Fewer breakdowns, less downtime, greater efficiency. That's the Cenex advantage. Find your local distributor at Cenex.com.
Farming is more than work. It's a life that's rooted in responsibility. But even the strongest among us feel the weight. Long hours, weather worries, financial pressure, it all adds up. If you're feeling burnt out or just not yourself, please know this. You're not alone, and there's help. Talk to someone, a friend, a doctor, a neighbor. It's not weakness, it's strength, because your mental health matters, on and off the farm. Brought to you by Farm and Ranch Media, supporting the hands that feed us.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. We were stopped at a checkpoint, and then all of a sudden, there was a loud explosion. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
So my sandwich shop was opening in a week, and I needed signage.
A week is plenty of time to panic.
I went to Staples. They printed banners, posters, and flyers to promote my grand opening.
All in time for your grand closing.
Nope, I had it same day. I even got $125 off my order.
Holy onions. For all your business printing, Staples.
That was easy.
Now save up to $125 on custom print orders. In-store and online, same day if ordered by 12 p.m. Into 11-1, exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
This is TV's Dr. Travis Stork for Eggland's Best. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm-fresh taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, with more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties. Classic, cage-free, organic, free-range, and pasture-raised. Eggland's.
Elkmount and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durant.
Real country.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Florida, a jury found Ryan Ruth guilty on all counts in the attempted assassination trial of Donald Trump.